please open your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and chapter 21. It's there on your bulletin, but it's better to have your own Bible or Bible app open to that scripture. I'll read I'll read from chapter 17, verse 1 through 6, talking about the prostitute, also known as Babylon. And please finish with me in chapter 21, verse 9 through 11. So let me start and let's finish together. Here we go. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters, and with her the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. And when I saw her, I was greatly astonished." And now let's read from chapter 21, verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. And she showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. This is the very word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, I have not preached here for 1 month, and it's good to be back. I had to work for the past 4 weeks, so we've had a break from the book of Revelation. We heard Pastor Hiroshi, Pastor Kevin, preaching from Isaiah and the Psalms, and Romans. And then, this is the end of our series in Revelation. We've studied Revelation for 1 year, starting last November. Some of you were here for that, and we preached from chapter 19, actually, and went through 19 to 22, and then in January this year, we went from chapter 1 of Revelation. And so now we're coming to the end. Just a bit of introduction that will help us understand the bowls, the judgment of the bowls and the plagues. If you remember, Revelation uses numbers a lot. Very important. For example, the number 3. Number 3 is the number of God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then there's the number 4, which is the number of the totality of the earth, right? It usually talks about nations, tribes, peoples, and languages. That's four. Or the four corners of the earth. So the number four is the totality of the earth. There's the number 12, which is the number of God's people. And so 12 times 12, the number of God's people in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant, is the totality of God's people, times 1,000, which is 144,000. That means a multitude, complete number of God's people. Yeah? What else is another number? Probably the most significant number that you notice is the number 7. So, 7. The first part of the book talks about the 7 churches, the 7 lampstands, the 7 stars. And then from chapter 4, there's the vision of the throne of heaven. And there's a great scroll of the history of all of earth and mankind with 7 seals. And then after that, there was the judgments of God that came from 7 trumpets. So 7 churches, 7 seals, 7 trumpets. And then there was an interlude from chapter 8, and it went to chapter 9, and there were 7 visions of 7 angels, okay? And then from chapter 12 to 14, there was a vision of 7 bowls of judgment being poured out on all the earth. 7, right? Okay, yeah. So 7, a very big number, and we are coming to the end of that. 7 bowls, the 7 judgments, and this is the last of those bowls. Now, there's only 2 or 3 weeks left in Revelation. There's one more section. This last section on the bowls is the picture of the victory of Jesus Christ. Chapter 17, 18, 19, it's all about the victory of Christ. And then from chapter 19, 20, 21, 22, it's all about the new vision of the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, and the new earth. And so to cover from chapter 17 to 22 in 3 weeks, it's impossible. So today and next couple weeks, I want to combine those 2 things. The last judgments and the new Jerusalem, new heaven, and new earth. And today is the first thing, which is the judgment of the prostitute and the coming of the bride. Now, you've already probably, you're smart people, you understand. Those are 2 opposite things. A prostitute and a bride. And John knows that that image of a prostitute and a bride is something you find in all of the Bible. And because Revelation is the last book of the Bible, he's bringing every theme, every thread, every image, all together. And so one of those is the prostitute and the bride. So, here we are in chapter 17. Now, one of the angels who had 7 bowls came and said to me, verse 1, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters." Okay. Before I get too far into this, what does this have to do with our life here in Hiroshima, here in Japan? Like you, I came to Hiroshima to work. I needed to pay off my school debt, and I needed a job, so I came to Japan. And probably like you, the main reason, the main thing I'm trying to do here is make sure I have enough food, okay? I can pay the rent, and then I can have some clothes. And then if I have, I can send the money home to pay for school or help my family to have enough money to live. But the thing about Japan is that there's enough money to cover your food, your rent, your clothes, and also to help you cover helping out friends and family in your home country. But then there's still more money. Okay, so what do you do with the rest of the money? Maybe you put it in the bank, you save some of it, and then you see on TV that there's something nice, maybe some new fashion or some new phone, and you think, I have that little bit of money, I can get that, right? And so you get something new. And you get something nice. And then, a few months later, the thing becomes a little bit old. It becomes a little bit slow, a little bit dirty. And then you see on TV, or you go on Honduras, and you think, it's the new one. It's shiny. It's clean. It's better. Or maybe you're on Facebook, and there's the commercials on Facebook now, and you see, I have the old one, and it would be nice. And everything's paid for. I have rent, I have food, I have clothes, my family's okay. What's wrong with the new thing? Why can't I enjoy something? Right? And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and you're spending more and more and more. And then it comes to the day when this happens. Ooh, they're passing around the bowl. They're passing around the bag, church. Okay, now, if I give this much, I don't have enough for... this month, the bills were a little bit high. The phone, I used the phone a little bit too much. The internet service was a little bit high. This person has a need. I can give to this person, but this, I have to pay for this. Right. Okay, let's shift the picture. This is getting a little bit uncomfortable now. So let me shift. All right. Relationships that we have. There's relationships that we know. We know from the moment we meet somebody, this could be trouble. This is not going to be good. Can't say amen. Right, you can say ouch. But it would be nice. It would be so nice. I've been so lonely, and I haven't had a good relationship. And Sunday's my only day off. If I can't have this time, then I have, there's church, but then, it's slow, isn't it? Right? Just a little taste, and then it gets, you get further and further. Let me tell you what that is. That is called Babylon. It's Babylon. Okay? Now, it's not like, hey, this is wrong. Do it. No. It's Babylon. It's very, very small, subtle, very slow. And so we were introduced to a prostitute. This prostitute, it says that she sits by many waters. She sits by many waters. It means that... waters equals access. So in the ancient world, if your city was near this river or that sea or across those two oceans, you had access to this trade, that merchandise, those goods. Okay? So she sits on many waters means she had lots of traffic going through her. Alright? Now, verse 2. And with her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, And the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Okay, here we go. I want to tell you about the prostitute, and I want to tell you about who she is, okay? What's her danger? But first, I want to tell you why she's appealing. What's her allure? The first thing that that's alluring is, well, she's a prostitute. She promises pleasure, good, you know, satisfaction. This is not something new. I know you're all familiar with this. Let me just read to you Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. Just listen. Proverbs. My son, this is something I want to tell my boys. I have 5 boys, and this is what I'm going to tell them. Maybe from the time they're 5 years old. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. Now here's the thing about her. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she doesn't know it. So the first level of a prostitute is, she's not trying to get you in trouble. She doesn't know what she's doing. That's one level of a prostitute. But this prostitute in Revelation, no. She's operating on a higher level of temptation. This is Proverbs chapter 7. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to slaughter or a stag is caught fast. Till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he doesn't know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Here it is, listen. For many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. She knows very well. She'll promise you something nice, something good, something feels good, something tastes good, and you'll experience something nice. But she knows it ends in death. Now, this is not talking about, here in Revelation, some high-class call girl or prostitute. She only, you know, she's very... No. This is talking about a kind of people, kind of system that all of the levels of society follow. Everyone from a common worker to a government official to the kings of the earth. They follow her. They don't know that they follow her. And they don't know they're committing adultery. Another picture of adultery in the Bible. God describes his relationship to you and me in many ways. One way is like a father to a child. He loves you as a mother to her, as a mother hen to her chicks. Oh, Jerusalem, I would have covered you under the shelter of my wings. That's one way. Another way he describes his relationship is as a friend. As a friend. There was a friend, a man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is one friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend is born for adversity. And that's talking about Jesus. There's another way that God describes his relationship with people. It's the most intimate. It's more than friendship, more than mother and father. It's more than that. It is the relationship of a husband and a wife. He says, you are mine, and I will give everything I have for you. And in return, I am yours. And you will give yourself to no one else. And so, when God's people, listen, when God's people give their heart to anything else, to God, it's like a woman committing adultery from her husband. Let me give you one example. And it's not just, like Christians. It's anybody. Anybody. Listen, he's talking about a city, an ancient city called Tyre. Okay? And here's what he says. Tyre worshipped other gods. Tyre gave themselves to a god other than Yahweh. And so he says what they were doing is this. For all the countless prostitution of the great prostitute, graceful and of all deadly charms, who betrays nations with her whorings and peoples with her charms. God said, Tyre, you became a prostitute when you started trading with other countries, trusting in their power, trusting in their security, and you became unfaithful to me. He talks about Jerusalem like this. Here's what he says. Take a harp, go about the city, O forgotten prostitute, make a sweet melody, sing many songs that you may be remembered. At the end of 70 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return her wages, and will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. So here's the thing about the prostitute. It's not just a one-to-one relationship. It's about people, about a city, about a system of the world that does business in the way that the world does. Okay. So, here's the problem. This prostitute offers you things. One, satisfaction. The problem with the satisfaction, it's temporary. Two, the prostitute offers you freedom. Freedom from God. You don't have to follow God. You don't have to do it His way. You can be free to be who you are. Do you. That's called idolatry. The third thing that the prostitute offers is wealth and luxury. Skip down here. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things. So she had clothing, jewelry, okay? Glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. So she had everything. She had everything. And she offered this luxury and even this wealth. Yeah. But where does it come from? It comes at a price. Okay? All right, so that's the prostitute. Now, there's a difficult part in the middle, talking about verse 3. The angel carried me away in the spirit and into a wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. What is this beast? What is this serpent? All right, so If you were with me, or excuse me, if you came to church a little while back, I talked about the beast, the serpent, the beast, and the second beast, the beast out of the water, the beast out of the ground. If you weren't there, you don't know, it's okay. I'm going to cover this again next week, okay? But I just want you to know, this is a very powerful image. And what we know about this prostitute is that she has someone behind her that's giving her power. She's not working alone, is what I'm saying. Yeah? Right. So she's sitting on a scarlet beast. We read in chapter 12 and 13 that there was a dragon, and he was a red dragon. It's an image of evil, of sin. It's the personification of evil. And we understand later, if you read yourself in chapter 18 and 19, that red dragon is Satan. Okay? And so her power, her allure, her temptation is coming from Satan himself. The scarlet beast, because it was covered with blasphemous names. Now, seven heads, 10 horns. If you keep reading chapter 17, it explains what those seven heads and those 10 horns are. And we'll go over that next week. But they are the powerful, the rich, the wealthy. They were symbols of Rome itself. But here's the thing. He doesn't say Rome. He doesn't say the name Rome. Right? What does he say in verse 6? He says this. Babylon the Great. Now please bear with me. Okay? You're sitting and you're listening very carefully. I appreciate that. But just a little bit longer. Babylon, at this time, is not great. Babylon, at this time, is just a little village, little town. So what is John saying that Babylon is great? All right, this is the best part for me, I think. Because if you read your Bible, and you have these questions that come up, you're always trying to think, what is the deal with Babylon? So let me try just a small explanation. In Genesis, excuse me, it's been a while. Genesis chapter 9, okay? Genesis chapter, 9, 10, 11, somewhere, the Tower of Babel. There was a city that wanted to use technology to bring glory to itself. They said, we're going to use this new technology called the brick. And we're going to build a massive tower that reaches up to heaven so we can become like God. We can rise up as high as God. And so they would build this high tower. And the funny thing is, God says, the next verse, God went down to the tower, saying, you can build as high a tower as you like. It's never going to get high enough. So, this city became a symbol of man's desire to become God himself. To become as strong as God, to become as great as God, to become bigger than God. And God, in the end, had to destroy it. But then, that city, even though it was destroyed, what happened? Another empire came up. It was Egypt. And this Egypt became just as big, just as powerful, just as great. And you know what God called Egypt? He called it Babylon. And then after Egypt went down in Exodus, the group of God's people built a city called Jerusalem. Jerusalem got big and strong and powerful, but they prostituted themselves. They turned away from God. And they became a new Babylon. And then after Jerusalem was destroyed, it was destroyed by the Persians, the Medes. They became great and big and strong. A king named Nebuchadnezzar. What happened? God took him down, and they became the new Babylon. And then there was an actual Babylon. And God had to, God, what happened was God took everybody out of Israel and Jerusalem, and he brought them to the city of Babylon. And that's a big story in the Bible. But then after Babylon came the Greeks. And then after the Greeks came the Romans. And after the Romans, well, came the whole medieval Europe. It came the Gauls. Became Soviet Russia. Imperial England. It became yada, 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 yada. So Babylon is a symbol of man's power and wealth and evil to destroy. All right, is that okay? Okay, that's just kind of a bit of history, but that's the point of all of this. It's kings, it's horns, it's beasts, and it's the power to oppress. Now, okay, let me bring us all together. All right. There's two ways that Satan will try to pull you away from God. Two ways, okay? One is through the beast, through the fear and the oppression of the beast. We call it the stick. The serpent wants to beat you away from God. He'll beat you and beat you and beat you away from God. He will kill you and murder you to get you away from God. That's one way. Fear. The second way that Satan wants to take you away from God is the carrot. That's the prostitute. If you will not bow to Satan for fear of the stick, he will send the prostitute. And he'll say, come on, I got a promise for you. I got something good for you. I got something lovely and beautiful. Something that tastes nice and feels good. And he'll pull you. So it's either the stick or the carrot. That's how Satan will try to get you away from God. That's what he's trying to show here. Through luxury, through pleasure, through freedom. Okay? That's what he's trying to show. Now, how does God overcome that? What does God give us to keep us away from the serpent? He gives us a beautiful picture, not of a prostitute, but of a bride. And I love how we see here the way John puts the prostitute on one side and the bride on the next. And you can see how clear it is in the language. If you have your bulletin, it's right in front of you how clear what he's trying to do is. Okay? Verse 1, the angel says, come, I will show you the great prostitute. That's verse 1 of chapter 17, okay? Now, 21, on the right side of your bulletin, one of the seven angels, again, same thing, okay, came and said to me, same language, come, I will show you, right? Same language, the bride, the wife of the Lamb, right? So you see that they're right next to each other. All right, and now go back to chapter 17. So verse 3. The angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. Okay, now go to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to what? A great mountain. So do you see the difference? The prostitute is in the wilderness. Wilderness is the image of great testing and trouble. Right? Israel had to go through the wilderness. Right? It's a terrible place. It's away from God. In fact, in Genesis, it begins with waters. And then the land comes up. And it goes higher and higher until you get to the mountain of Jerusalem, the mountain of God. So the higher you go, the closer you go to God. And so where is Jerusalem? Verse 10, a great high mountain, right? See the difference? Now, if you go to chapter 21, and we're in verse 10, he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God. Its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. So the appearance of Jerusalem is this glorious, this beautiful radiance, like precious jewels. But look at the appearance of the prostitute. The appearance of the prostitute. Verse 4, chapter 17. Dressed in purple, scarlet, glittering with gold, precious stones, pearls, golden cup. So what's the difference? Can you see the difference? Here's the difference. One, that's my boy. Okay. One has the beauty of glamour. One is glamorous. But the other has beauty from the inside. You see that? Scarlet, fine, all this, you know, glittering gold. It's from the outside. But here, the holy city of God has the glory of God radiating out from her. Babylon has a temptation that is so fake, so phony. Yesterday, I went to my son's Yochien. They had a, what is it called, a bazaar or a little festival. And they had all the things that they made. They're displaying, like their paintings, their drawings. You know, they drew a tree, they drew a bicycle. I love it. I love the little paintings, the pineapples, the colors. I love, and they're big too. And then there's another room, you go in, and it shows their sakuhin, which is their crafts. So what they do is they'll take like a PET bottle, plastic bottle, and they'll make an elephant, right? Or they'll take a milk carton and they'll make a bus, okay? Now, it's cute, but you look at it, okay, that has the ears, I see the ears, and I see the nose. Yeah, it's an elephant, but it's a bottle. It's a plastic bottle. And I see the little wheels, and I see the toothpick that goes through, and you drew some windows, but it's a milk carton. Alright? I get it, it's cute. It's cute! And I like what you did. But if I look at a real elephant, or a real bird, or a real car, that little milk carton, that little plastic bottle is just a little plastic bottle. Right? It's night and day, the difference. Babylon promises you pleasures, good things, nice things. But compared to what God gives to you, it's like a plastic bottle. It's like a piece of garbage, like a little milk carton. The beauty of the bride is from within and it's radiant. Okay. Oh, hello. All right. The final thing, and I want to get to the gospel. Because what will help you to overcome Babylon, overcome the prostitute, and overcome the Satan, nothing helps you overcome like the gospel. Here's what I mean. If you have your Bible open, your own Bible, you're in chapter 17, okay? Chapter 17 is all about the prostitute. But in chapter 17, here's what it says. The beast and the prostitute. Here's what it says. Chapter 17, verse 16. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. You see that? The serpent, the beast, they're using the prostitute. And in the end, they themselves will kill the prostitute. Did you see that? Now let's look at the bride. Who is the husband of the bride? Chapter 21. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. That's the gospel.
Why is it lamp? Why doesn't it say, I will show you the bride, the wife of God, right? Why not the wife of the King of Kings? He doesn't say, he says the wife of the Lamb. That's the gospel. Because see, what happens is, the partner of the prostitute is the kings, is the powerful, is the beast, and they end up killing her. But the partner of the bride is the Lamb who does not kill the bride. He dies for the bride. He is the Lamb that was slain. That is what you call love. That's where the bride gets her beauty. The bride's beauty comes from the love of the Lamb, who gave himself for her so that she can be clothed in his righteousness, clothed in his glory, clothed in his love. That is what helps you overcome. Because, listen now, we are in Babylon, here in Hiroshima, and every day we have the choice to follow the prostitute or follow the bride. And the one thing, I know it as I know we're here today, that the one thing that will keep me away from the prostitute is to look at the love of the Lamb. It's not the guilt, it's not the fear, it's not the shame that will bring me closer to God, it's the love of God that died for me that will bring me closer and bring me away from the serpent. So listen, I want you now to consider which is more attractive for you. Which is more attractive for you? The pleasures and the gifts that the prostitute offers to you? The luxury and the wealth and the promise of freedom? Or the true freedom, the true riches, and the true wealth that's in the Lamb? And the answer should be obvious. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. I need to preach this today, and I need to preach this again next week. Because tomorrow, when we go to work, we always forget. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Yeah. So that's why I need to preach this every week. Yeah. Yeah, they promise... Poor baby. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Grace. Yeah. So it's crazy because all these things they promise me. They promise me, Chris, you're going to be happy if you do. Just click on this. Just give your credit card to that. You need to enjoy yourself, Chris. You need to have just a bit of relaxation. Chris, you deserve it. Chris, this is for your freedom. This will help you be who you are. This is freedom. And I thank God for Revelation 21, verses 9 through 11. But tell me, those are all lies. And my true freedom is in the one who let himself be shackled to death so that I can be free. So, if you've been following the prostitute, if you've been submitting to Babylon, if you have seen yourself looking away from the Lamb, come back. Throw it away. Throw all that temptation, all those stupid things, all those little things that they promised, throw it away and go to Jesus Christ. And listen to me now. The people who read the letter at the beginning, the first people who read this, they were poor. They were suffering. They were dirty. Some of them were dying. And they did not receive the wealth, the pleasures, and the comforts in this life. They died holding on to the promise of life. That's what Hebrews 11 and 12 is all about. So, Lord Jesus, I understand. I may not have my best life now here. I may not have it. But I believe in the promise that you give through Revelation 21. So, shall we go to Jesus? Shall we go to our husband? Shall we go to the Lamb? And let's once more give ourselves once more to Him in everything that we have. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we confess our sins, Lord, of idolatry. We confess our sins of adultery, a spiritual adultery, of trying to find satisfaction in anything else but you. Forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us for trying to make our own selves God and making our own selves free from God. Help us, Lord God, to follow you, to trust you, to believe in your promise to us of true freedom, true wealth, true beauty, eternal pleasures, Lord. Lord, help us to repent of our sins and come to you in faith and to trust, Lord, in you all, even today, Lord, even today. Lord God, as it says, the wife of the Lamb, Lord, once more we think about Christ, his death on the cross, paying the price. He loved his bride so much that he would die for her. Lord, thank you. The least I could do is live for you. So this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.